to inspirational truths, a time for exploring the truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, friend, if He isn't, He wants to be. If He isn't, He can be. If He isn't, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus said Himself in the book of Luke chapter 19. Or chapter 10, verse 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look, if that's you, you can do something about it quickly. You can bow your head, humble your heart, repent of your sin, and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, sir, ma'am, we're running out of time. We don't have long to do that. Look, Debbie's going to sing a song, one of my favorite. The title of it is Saved by Grace, and then I'll meet you in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. I'll be reading just maybe, one verse of Scripture. Share the message. You pray for me, won't you? I need it for sure.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with me. The darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith. His grace, 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 that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. Realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
Well, folks, I'm going to tell you what, there's no other way to be saved. If you're not saved, you can be. It can happen instantaneously, I'm telling you. If you realize you're a sinner, if you repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior, guess what? He'll save you. Now look, I don't believe you can be saved unless you're under conviction. I don't believe you can be saved, friend, unless you get under conviction, unless you can confess that you're a sinner. You realize you're a sinner. Listen, hey, friend, but God will save whosoever will. Now that's not the message today. My message is coming from the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of you may not like the message, but I'll tell you what. We need the message whether we like it or not. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, I'm just going to read verse 20. He said this, and this is the words of Jesus to the church of Laodicea. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he will and be. Let me get that right. I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And then he goes on to say to him that overcometh, what I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father and in His throne. And listen to what he ends up. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Listen, friend, I'm going to talk to you about this thought today. When Jesus has been put outside. When Jesus has been put outside. Listen, God, I'm afraid that's where we see ourselves in America today. I'm telling you, every part of our society, every aspect of our society, listen now. Listen, not from the White House down. I'm talking about from our house up, from the church house up, from our schools. Listen, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm glad who occupies the White House. Now, some of you may not. Maybe you turn right there, the radio off. That's up to you. You'll have to stand before God just like I will in what you think, who you pray for, what you stand for. But let me tell you this, friend. When we begin to look at Jesus right here on the outside of the church that He purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, entrusted with His Word, when we get to the place like we do today, see Him on the outside, that means somebody else is on the inside. And I want you to know, I believe this is one of the saddest pictures there is in the entire Word of God. When you begin to think about Jesus on the outside of the church, listen, He had just addressed the seventh church that He wrote letters to. He had something specific and special to say to every church. And when He came to the church of Laodicea, He said something amazing. Even as He addressed this church, He said, not like He did to the church at Philadelphia or the church of Ephesus, He said to the church of the Laodiceans. You know what that means? That means the church of the people's roar. Church ruled by the people. Hey, there was a sign on a church down south somewhere, and it had the title of the people's church. You know why? Listen, they may be off theologically. They may be off with many, many things in their life. At least you have to say this, they're honest. Do you hear? Look, this is a picture of Jesus standing on the outside of the church, bless God, that He purchased with His blood. Now look, this is the last phase. I want you to notice this. Please pay attention. Listen to what the Lord wants us to know. I want you to notice where this is found. I want you to notice where Jesus is standing between chapter 3 and chapter 4. Do you know what? It's right at the end of the last phase of the church age on planet Earth. Now, this Laodicean church will go right into the millennial. It'll have its part with what's going on with the Antichrist, or will go on with the Antichrist. But let me tell you this. Bless God, this precedes the rapture of the church. If you go on into chapter 1, you'll hear that John said, look, after this, I heard a voice from heaven, saw a door open, and the voice saying, come up hither. And when he got there, he began to see some things were absolutely amazing. He saw a throne that was set, and he saw some strange beasts, 24 elders. But can I draw your attention unto something that he saw in verse 5? He saw lightnings and thunderings. He was seeing the beginning. Listen to this, folks, of the judgment of Almighty God, a God who is, a God who was, and a God who always shall be. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, friend, God's not out of place. Oh, He's been misplaced. Hey, a lot of people have replaced Him, but I'll tell you, where He's always been. Thank God. He said, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. He is, friend. He's not a has-been, He's not a going-to-be, but He is. Now, when you look, John said, I saw lightnings and thunderings proceeding out of the throne. Look, friend, God's in control. God's seated, God's set, God's the established. Look, friend, God is watching over this place. God is knowing what's going on in this place. But I want you to know something. He's been misplaced. He's been replaced. Oh, listen, friend. Our world's in the mess that it's in because of something. Do you hear me? I mean, we didn't get here by accident. We didn't get here overnight. There's been a process. There's been a plan. There's been a program. We've been deceived. We've chosen to be where we're at. We've chosen to be what we are. And oh, friend, I'll tell you, there's only one remedy. Can I get down to the end of my message at the beginning of it? I'll give it to you again. Look, the only hope for America, the only hope for our world, the only hope for our nation, our schools, our government, our families, our individuals, it may just be you, sir or ma'am, is to remember where we came from, to remember what God has said to us, remember what God's called us to, repent of our sins, repent of our disobedience, repent repent of our abandoning God. Repent of the things that we have done in turning our back on God. Get on our face before Him. Repent, repent, repent. And then renew our first work as He graciously covers us with His goodness. Oh, look, friend, listen. When we find Jesus in this place, I want you to know it's so significant. I can't do it justice with what I see in my explanation, but I want to emphasize it. I can't draw attention to the fact that Jesus is on the outside of the church. And can I tell you what? He's on the outside of homes too, on the outside of our schools too, on the outside of our government too. Oh, America's wanting to put Him on the outside of our borders. But can I tell you, we need Him right in the midst. We need Him right in the midst. I can't explain how significant this is, but I can again draw our attention to it and to the fact that something needs to be done in light of it. But can I tell you this? If we don't do anything to leave Him where He's at, bless God, something will be done. Something is being done. I'll tell you, there's consequences. You hear me? There's consequences to all of our choices. There are consequences of misplacing Jesus. Or listen, friend, or just simply kicking Him out, kicking Him to the curb. It didn't happen accidentally. Oh, there may be times that we forget things that we ought to remember, do what we ought not to be done. But I'll tell you, you can't kick somebody as big as Jesus to the outside and not recognize it. You can't get rid of Jesus, take Him out of the spot, the place that He's supposed to be, that's been designed to fill, and then not recognize it. Folks, I'll tell you, the folks of this age and this sick society may not understand this, but listen, Jesus isn't an option. He is a necessity. The Word of God says this. It's in Him we live, move, and have our being. And the Bible teaches us that He not only created, yes, I believe in the creation, I bless God of this world, of this universe, of all that is, bless God, by the divine fiat of an almighty God, by Him just speaking, bless God, and it became. And I not only believe that He was having the possession of the power, bless God, to create it, but He has the ability, even the power to keep it, to sustain it. Oh, look, friend, He's not an option. He's a necessity, but true, we can choose to put Him on the outside. We can choose to deny Him His place, His presence, but we cannot choose the consequences that follow our choice. I want you to know from the beginning, God has told us or shown us where He needs to be, where He wants to be. And by the way, Jesus Christ is God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God, co-equal, co-existing, co-eternal with Almighty God. And look, friend, look from the beginning, God told us where He needs to be. And look, you say, where is that, preacher? Well, right in the midst. I'm telling you, the Son's the center of our universe, is it not? I'm talking about the S-U-N. When God created us, bless God, you find Him walking in the midst of Adam and Eve in the garden. When He created the tabernacle of the nation of Israel, through Moses and those artificers of that day, He set Himself up in the midst of that camp of those Jews that had come out of Egypt bondage, and He was right in the midst of their camp. When He had them to build the temple on Mount Moriah in Israel, in that great city by the name of Jerusalem, He wanted to be in the midst. You know what? You know what I believe? I bless God, not where the Mosque of Omar sits, but where the temple, I bless God, that Solomon built. Whoever the second one was led the reconstruction of the second temple. And I know who was it, Herod. ordinated it and expanded it right there in the midst where the holy place sat. I believe it's the center of the earth. You see, I believe, like the Jews believe, bless God, Israel. Listen, there are three great points of center of this world. How the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and Mount Moriah. I believe, bless God, Ezekiel said 5 and 5. He said, look, he talked about the nation that surrounded that place. I believe that's the center of the universe. It's the center of God's dealing with mankind on planet Earth. Now look in our text passage. If Jesus is on the outside, can I ask you something? Who is on the inside? Well, look, it's man. Our churches have become man-centered, have they not? I'm telling you, they've come to the place where they're run and ruled by man's desire. I'm telling you, they teach man's philosophy. They use man's psychology to make man feel better. Come as you are, they say. Leave as you were. Hey, come here and let's get happy. Oh, they may be busy as termites. Do you hear? They may do some good things socially. But I'll tell you what, friend, listen. We're not here to make the earth, the world, a better place to go to hell from. We're here to see the gospel preached, Jesus Christ exalted, God glorified, man convicted, man converted, man changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, our day, listen, we see Jesus on the outside of most churches, and we see our society like the society in the day of the judgment when man was doing what was right in his own eyes. So look, whether we like it or not, America was founded and forged by a bunch of people who were looking for a place to worship God according to the dictates of their heart. They weren't perfect men. They weren't perfect men and women. But I'll tell you what, God used them to give us a place a place to where God guided them to. A place that without a doubt is the greatest nation on earth. A nation that's rich in its heritage. Rich in all of its stuff that lies underground. It's rich in so many ways, friend, that it's not funny. But oh, look, there's a reason for all that's happening to America, in America. I want you to know, friend, listen. The reason God blessed it when it was founded for lots of reasons. Like I told you, one of them, so man, I could worship according to the dictates of their heart. But another reason was so that the Jews that had been displaced in all the world back in that day, I could find a haven of rest for itself. Now you know a large number of Jews live in our nation and thank God for it. You know our connection with Israel. And praise God, we've got President Trump had the preaching of this message that decided to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I say glory to God, but in saying that, Satan hates us. He's not happy about us. I'm telling you, he's kicking up dust because of that. And the reason that he's seeking to destroy America from the inside is the same reason he wants to destroy Israel. Have blessed God because he thinks if he can get rid of Israel, he can discredit God, his plan and his program. But hey, smutty face, I got news for you, son. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to be successful. But listen, when he's put outside, when Jesus is put outside, we end up with a judicial system that legalizes murdering babies either in the womb or out of the womb. Since 1973, Roe versus Wade, there's been 60 million, think about that, 60 million plus abortions in America. And I'll tell you, bless God, listen, if God judged the nation of Israel because blood corrupted their land, my God, sir, my God, ma'am, what do you think America could expect from Almighty God? We may change, but God does not change. We've got a court judicial system that not only okayed murder in the womb or outside the womb. I bless God, they're changing the definition of marriage. Isn't that amazing? Look, they try, but it won't work. They even said saying prayer in school is illegal. You got to get the Bible out of school. You got to kick God out of school. I'm telling you, when you do that, you end up, bless God, with an educational system that is in chaos. We end up with a place that kids ought to be safe. That's one of the most dangerous places in the world. Isn't that amazing? I believe the three safest places we ought to have in this world is the womb of a woman, is in a church where we go to worship, and in schools where we send our kids. And yet, those are the three of the most dangerous places that mankind can be. Isn't that amazing? Instead of a lot of things in our school system, bless God, that's in need of metal detectors. We've got mass shootings. We've got the idea that teaching the principles of Islam versus Christianity or the Bible is the right thing to do. They're teaching those five pillars of Islam. But they said, look, you can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance and mention one nation under God, or even say the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Oh, listen, friend, we're in a mess in our school system, are we not? When you kick God out, you have teachers teaching that Johnny has two mommies or two daddies. I mean to tell you, they're demanding that it's taught. It's part of the curriculum. When you kick God out, you got a political party. Bless God, when you kick him out of our political parties, you put him out, and the Democrats need it. 2012, you end up with a party that's become a haven to people wanting to destroy America. And I'll tell you, I wanted to say a party of a bunch of idiots, but they're not all idiots. But I'll tell you what, there's enough in our nation to go around. Amen? You get a party that wants to change our democratic republic into a socialist nation. You want to get a party that wants to ruin our nation, change our global status as a leader. Hey, and look, friend, a multitude of other things. Maybe that is why we don't see America in prophecy. Did you ever understand? Did you ever think about that? I know people wonder where America will be in the prophetic utterance of God's Word. We don't see her mentioned anywhere. We don't see her in any prophecy. I don't. Neither does any other man or woman that knows the Word of God and that preaches on prophecy. And there's a reason for that. Let me tell you something. I believe our economy, that's $23 trillion in debt. Look, I know it's good under Trump, and I'm glad. I thank God for that man. He's far from perfect. There are things I disagree with him about, but I'll tell you what, he's a red-blooded American. He believes, bless God, in the fundamentals that made our nation great. He's not afraid to proclaim God. He's not afraid to stand up in that swamp, that cesspool in Washington, D.C., and make a decision that's godly and that's holy. I'll tell you, I thank God for him. But can I tell you, this may be why America isn't seen in prophecy. I believe our wealth, look, I believe we'll become bankrupt. I believe in a lot of ways we are. But maybe this is a greater reason that we end up where we are, or we'll end up off of the stage of Bible prophecy. If we will fold as a democratic republic, we will become a socialist nation. I pray God not, but if something isn't done now, that's where we're going. That's where every Democratic, it seems like to me, a person that's running for the highest office in our nation, that fills the halls of Congress and the Senate, right there in the capital of the United States, wants to go socialist. How we need to repent. Look, friend, when we kick God out, when we kick God out of our families, our divorce rate increases, then it decreases. And you say, well, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, it'd be good if it's for the right reason. But a lot of people are coming together, living together, committing fornication without any conviction, without any compunction. I'm telling you, friend, when you put God out, when you kick Christ to the curb, when you kick our Lord and Savior out, this is what we've got. When you get to tearing up the most fundamental part of our society, you'll see that society crumbles. It'll fall apart. And you say, no, preacher, what's the remedy again? I'll tell you what the remedy is. There's a simple one. It's a good one. It's been tried and proven. But I'm afraid, friend, we won't see a stampede toward it. I'm afraid there won't be enough people wanting to embrace it. But if we remember, we remember whose we are. We remember what we were. We remember what God had planned for us, and we repent of our sin. Oh, if we get down like Nineveh did in sackcloth and ashes, hear the message from God, believe the message from God, hey, and go to God and repent, hey, and begin to redo our first works, as He told the church of Ephesus over in the second chapter of the book of the Revelation. Hey, friend, that's the only remedy. Do you hear me? We open up our lives to Jesus, give Him His rightful place, of the only place that's designed for Him, of the only place that He'll occupy and bless us thereby. We need Him in our midst. We need Him in our heart. We need Him right there in the center of all that we are, all that we do, all that we become, all that we want. Oh, we need Him in our midst. Let's repent. Do you hear me? Let's get down before God and say, oh God, we repent of putting You in the wrong place until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us, and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.